resources I could have given to the beggar, but you gave him the very best. And Aidan, Saint Aidan says to him, yeah, if God can love me so much and give so much to me, what is that compared to me giving a horse to a beggar? King looks at him and said, wow, that's deep. And he asked a question that I'm sure he regretted asking. He says, what else can I give? And Aidan says to him, everything. What? I'm thinking I should give everything away. Yes, everything is worth the soul of men and women, children of God. God's word says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? There's value to every one of us. And that's why you must not beat yourself down and think of yourself as a nobody, just a dumb bag of rocks. No, that's not your name. That's not you. God so loved you and I, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this God who's elected to see us as special also ordained that we be a people of supernatural victory. And I'm deeply encouraged in my spirit that God has declared this month for you and I, everyone hearing my voice right now, that this is the month of victory. He did not die so that we fail. He died to make certain that we experience victory. It is the holy exchange of God, taking my pain, my shame, my defeat, and giving to me the essence of who he is and will always be, the Most High God. He gave us, you and I, a full package called grace, victory. It is embedded in our new birth. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 1, my focus is going to be on verse 4 and 5. But beginning to read from verse 1, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Last Sunday we asked this question, a question that Jesus, our Lord, asked in Caesarea Philippi. He said, who do men say that I am? They say, you, Jeremiah, Elias, Isaiah, one of the prophets, whoever. But who do you say that I am? Oh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And right here, the Word of God says, if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, he says, we get born again. Hallelujah. And one of the principal truths that we brought forth last Sunday about that particular word, thou art the Christ, was that that statement was a statement that pinpointed what Jesus will do for his church. For he says, upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church. What revelation? The revelation of service, of being a servant. The Christ is a servant. The Messiah came to die. He did not come to live for himself. He came to live his life so that you and I can become who God says we can be. And he says, when we grasp that truth, that God came to serve us, and we recognize that same principle, if we carry it on, is the principle that's going to bring salvation to the world. A minister who wants to preach the gospel must recognize that the statement of the Lord, whoever wants to be Lord must be a servant. If you're going to be the leader, be the servant. Recognize that it's in your service that life begins to embrace men and women and bring them to the place of restoration. So when we recognize that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, and recognize that word, that statement, the Anointed One, comes from the idea of breaking the shell of the olive and squeezing the oil out of it. That from our being crushed, we are releasing the juice of our lives that will bring wholeness into other people's lives. Jesus says to us, I need you to be my servants. Those who believe that Jesus is the Christ get born again. Because until you recognize that God is calling you to serve, you have not experienced the birth. Let me say that again. Born again is not just about, I'm a new creature. It's about the service of the new creature. The new creature is not living for itself. The new creation is taking forth a word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17. And before I start reading that to us, recognize that the whole essence of God is service. I may say, I'm a prayer warrior. I can pray until I'm blue in the face. If God does not service by bringing an answer, it's just words. So every time you and I pray, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is servicing me. When God gives me access, he's servicing me. He's complete in himself. But he serves me. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We know that verse. Verse 18, it says, and all things are of God. All that newness is of God who hath reconciled us to himself. That's access. By Jesus Christ, and had given. Not only did he give us access, he had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Just like I came to serve you to make you a new creation, I came to save you so that you can be my hands and my feet, my voice in the earth, in getting other people to come to the place where they understand that they too have reconciliation and access. Are we on the same page? So, being born again, the statement being born again without service is a misnomer. That's not the truth. You cannot be born again and not be a minister of the gospel. The proof that you are born again is that you are doing everything you can do to make sure that somebody else gets to know the love of God. Jesus, our Lord, said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go preach the gospel. Make disciples of nations." The power is not for me to shake and fall on the ground. The power of God is in me preaching the gospel. The power of God in my life does not even have to do with signs and wonders. The power of God is embedded in the preaching of the gospel. Now, signs and wonders follow. But I didn't read anywhere about John the Baptist doing any miracles. But he preached the gospel of the kingdom. What you and I are assigned to do is simply let somebody else know that God has given them access. But I'm a drug addict. That's all right. God still gives you access. I'm just a drunk. That's okay. I give you access. I'm just a prostitute like Rahab. That's all right. I give you access. I'm just Ruth, a Moabite. Moabites are not supposed to come to God. They're not supposed to be in the temple, anywhere around the temple of God. They are banished. But I'm Ruth, and God gives me access. Why? Because I choose to believe. I choose to believe, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What did Rahab do? Service. What did Ruth do? Service. What are we doing here? We are in a service. Love is a service. Have love one, two, another. Say, "Pastor, what are you saying to me?" I'm saying God gave you voice. God gave you access to him, and he's saying, go broadcast far and near the good news. Oh, I just want to hear the word of God and have great knowledge and stuff like that. And God says, no. I want you to go gather. There's a harvest. Go gather it. Bring it in. Bring your friends, bring your neighbors, bring your cousins and your nephews and your nieces and whoever. Bring whoever it is that you can have access to. Bring that neighbor that is always struggling with one thing or the other. Just let them know you've got access to God. And there's a place where you can continue to grow in knowing what is in the account that God has opened for you. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday, every day, I go, I check the word of God, I go and I join with other saints and we listen to the word of God to find out what's in the account. And this month, God says, it's victory. It's victory. You are going to have victory this month. No matter what the challenges are around you, God has ordained that this month you begin to experience supernatural victory. And every one of us should access that victory and say yes and amen to the word of God in our lives. As I shared this morning, victory is not without challenges. The presence of victory means that there might be challenges. But whatever the enemy tried to accomplish doesn't stop you. Praise the Lord. It says God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And the 19th verse of 2 Corinthians 5 says this. It says, therefore, because you've been given this ministry of reconciliation, therefore, he says, if any man be in Christ, that man is a new creation. God, verse 18, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And then verse 19 says this, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world, everyone, giving everyone access, the world, unto himself. How? Not imputing their trespasses, not assigning their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation, so that they know that God is not mad at them, that God is not out for them to smack them over the head and make useless of their lives, but that God has come and he's giving them access and saying, I close that debt. I wipe it clean. Yes, you did such and such and such and that terrible thing. I am wiping your slate clean. And I'm saying, you are okay by me. Now that you know that you're okay by me, I want you to go tell other people, oh my, I was a murderer. And God says, I clean your account. This fault in your life, wiped clean. Brother, that's what God did for me. And he says, I should let you know that he's done the same thing, that he's opened an account for you too. You mean God will forgive me? Yes. But I killed 20 people. It doesn't matter. But I raped so many people. It doesn't matter. That was your past. God is giving you a new beginning. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are what? Passed away. That is the good news of the gospel. And God has placed it in the hands of his servants. Notice the word of God in Amos 3:7. God will do nothing, not a thing, in the earth, except that he first reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Guess what? When you surrender yourself to be a servant of God, God makes you his prophet. Oh God, I need the gift of prophecy. God says, just go be a servant. And while you're busy serving people, God will begin to speak through you and speak to people in ways that they can relate to. So what does that mean, Pastor? It's not just telling people about God. It's about showing people God. Showing people God. Not just telling them about God. How do we show people God? We show people God by loving people. And when we have love for people, God will speak through us about inner issues that they may have not talked to any man about. Nobody knows this stuff. And while you're talking to them, God will start saying things and say, huh? How did you know that? Well, it doesn't matter what I know. God is saying, He's got your back. He's got you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5 again. Seems like I'm going all over the place. But I pray that you are getting the thought very clearly. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Born again. And everyone that loveth him, everyone that loveth him that begat, everyone that loveth him that begat, and the one who begat is God, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Not only are you going to love God, you're going to love those that are begotten of him. How did he get begotten of him? They got to believe the Christ, not just the name, not just the title, but they got to believe this, that they are called to service. Because the Christ is about service. He who was who had no reason not to feel or believe that he is equal with God, humbled himself to serve us. And that's how he got the greater name. It was through service. The best thing that you and I can do for ourselves, just learn how to serve. Serve people. We may not all serve the same way. But we are commissioned to serve. I remember many years ago, the stage that used to be here, you know, the guys were building, putting the stage together and hammering away. And I tried to do the same thing. I did not find the nail. I found my fingers. That was one. Then I tried again somewhere else, trying to do some cutting, and the thing backed up, and I was the recipient. It was not my calling. So when they were trying to build another stage, they said, Pastor, thou art not allowed here. And I said, Amen. That's not my thing. My thing is to do what I'm doing. My thing is to serve by having a vision of where God is going and what God is saying. The apostles said, it's not meet for us to serve tables. get other people to do this. We're going to spend our time studying the Word of God and praying so that we're ready to bring to you what is necessary. Everybody plays their particular role. And we recognize everyone for the role that they are playing. I have no clue about any of whatever it is that's happening here. What was my assignment? To serve. To listen to God. Hear from God what He wants me to do. Where He wants me to get what. How He wants me to get it. Listen, 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 listen. I did my part. Those that were serving in other capacities did their part. And what do we have? We've got a perfect representation of what we were looking at to reproduce. Everybody serving their particular role. I know that while I cannot hammer the nail, I can come and say, oh wow, you guys are doing a great job. Can I get you something to drink? I can do that. They are giving in one way, and I give in another way. I am clueless about what is happening behind me. I could not run those cameras. And it's not just about running those cameras. There are wires going all over this place. Connections going left and right. I went upstairs this morning and because I wanted to know where we were in terms of where things are with all the new equipment that we have. And I saw Brother Wes up there and he was busy doing this and doing that. And I'm saying, oh my Lord, look at all the things that they have to do here. And downstairs they're doing different things. Those are services. What is the reason for it? So that we have a nice screen? No. So that the gospel is preached. So that somebody hears what is being said by the Spirit of God. Creating an atmosphere by the Holy Ghost. And also aesthetically, because they all work together. For people to feel comfortable to hear what God is saying and to connect with the voice of God. It's all about service. And all of that is happening because somebody loved. The things that different ones in this house do consistently. Brother Byron retired, and I think he's doing more work now than he did when he was working out there and getting paid for it. But he's here consistently, constant. Why? Why does he burn his gas to come here to start making connections, to cutting this, designing this, doing this and moving that? What is the reason? It's called L-O-V-E. It's called S-E-R-V-A-N-T. A servant that loves. You see, when you love, you are always on the move for the purposes of God. I see that in sons, in daughters in this house. I see it in Lindsay. I see it in Christian. And I can keep on calling names. On, and I thank God for the team. But this team can be so much bigger. People will come and say, no, I'm going to clean the church. And you come time and time again. And when we all come, we see, wow, everything is clean and nice. But we don't know how much time it took for somebody to make sure that it was so. Brother James and Sister Mary did that for I don't know how many decades, just by themselves. Know how big this place is? What was the purpose of that? To make certain that people have access and there's no disturbance in their spirit when they come to hear the word of God. There are people that come from, I don't know, an hour's drive or an hour and a half just to come and lead in praise and worship. Why? What we're talking about, when you're born again, you recognize that you're a son that serves. You're born again. You're a son that serves. You know what I found out? That the biggest givers in this ministry are the very ones that are serving. The ones that don't serve, don't give nada. They give nothing. And they're the first ones to complain. When I find a complainer, I know I found somebody that's not serving. empty drums sound loudest. But there are those who say, God has given to me the ministry of reconciliation. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I'll give of my time. I'll give of my finances. I will give with the skills that God has given to me. I will continue to hone in on those skills and expand in those giftings and those graces. In creative ways, God, grant me creative ways to help preach this gospel. And I know somebody's thinking, Pastor, this is a month of victory. You're not preaching to us about victory. No, I'm helping to break the backbone of that self-centeredness that causes us not to tie into that which God has for us. Because the one thing the enemy wants to do is to cause us to want to be sitting at the top of the table without the willingness to serve. And if we can break that backbone of that enemy, we will come into a place of supernatural grace in every area of our lives, because a servant gets to know the things of God. God can entrust special secrets to him. God will do nothing in the earth, except that he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. What do prophets do? They prophesy about the kingdom of God. They tell of the ministry of reconciliation. I keep on coming to 1 John chapter 5, and then I jump out of it. But let's just go on to verse 2, and I'll be done in a moment for this evening. By this we know that we love the children of God. We know we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. This is how we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments. In essence, God is saying, you cannot say you love me and not keep my commandments and say that you love your fellow believer. Not possible. And anybody who teaches you not to keep the commands of God, God is saying, that person doesn't love you, even if they say that they love God. The grace of God is a very real thing. It enables us to live the life of God. But anyone who tells you that the word of God is passé in terms of commandments, that grace and the law are against each other, is not telling you the truth. Jesus, our Lord, says, I didn't come to abolish the law. I didn't fulfill it. And then start saying things like, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. So, but I say to you, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery. Tell me. Jumping in bed with a woman, is that harder than having a lustful look? If somebody smacks you on one side, turn the other side. I don't think the commandments of the Lord, when Jesus came, when he said, I came to fulfill it, made it easier. It became harder. It became even more difficult. So what was grace about? Grace was that which God gave to me, saying, you know, the law. I gave you the law. You couldn't even jump over it. That place was too high for you to jump. Now, you can't keep that. That's why I told you. But really, where the standard should be is not down there. It's supposed to be here. You say, excuse me. I couldn't jump over that. You're telling me this is the standard? Yeah. Be ye holy just like I am. But God, I can't do that. I don't have a way to do that. He says, I give you grace. I give you grace. And the grace is going to help you jump over the real standard. That's the truth. Grace brings me to overcome. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, but look at this. Suki. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? Know that it says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God believes what? He believes that Jesus paid the price, defeated sin, gave to me the gift of righteousness, and by his grace and by his truth, I now live a life that supersedes any actions of the enemy. God is my helper. When I lived by the law and I believed by the law, tried to keep the law, and was not able to keep all of the law, I died in sin. But now that grace has come, it empowers me to do all that I need to do, and then it says, if we say that we've not sinned, we're not telling the truth. But if we confess our sins, come into agreement with what God says, then his precious blood, 1 John 1 and verse 9, will cleanse us of all sin and of all unrighteousness. So grace lifts the standard. But grace says, if for any reason you're not able to jump over this hoop, I'm there to help you until you get across, until you grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. How? If you've been listening, you know the how. Being a servant, God gave to us gifts. All kinds of gifts for the edifying of the body, the building up of the body. Service, being a servant of the Most High God. That is the bloodline of the kingdom of God. The best prayer you and I can pray today is this: Lord, help me to be a faithful servant. What is the greeting when you come before God? He says, welcome, thou what? Good and what? Faithful servant. Did he say, thou good and faithful son? No, servant. Servant. Paul says, I'm a doulos, a slave of Christ. Find a way to serve. Find a way to serve. There are all kinds of creative ways for you to serve. Whether it's in preaching out there, if that's what you know how to do, or shoveling the snow, or helping somebody in the parking lot to park their vehicle properly, whatever it is that you need to do, don't just sit down there, everybody come and help me. Yes. He says in Matthew 25, and I wrap, when you come through, he says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee, what? Ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. To enter into the joy of the Lord is what it means to carry your cross and follow him. Does this all make sense? Well, one of the statements that was shown as a quote from me this morning was this. It's not that we do not know what to do, is that we don't do what we ought to do. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But that freedom comes in our service. That's when you know. You don't know nothing until you start serving. Serving God, serving His people. Because ultimately, that's really, ultimately, that's really what matters. I'm called to serve. And when you come and you're part of the body, you say, I'm going to serve. I find a place to serve. Don't just come to church and sit down. Find a way to serve. There is always a place for you to serve. I might not know where, but God will show you. This is what I want you to do. I know I'm rapping. I remember, I don't know how long back now, I used to have videos, clips made for services. And one day, a dear daughter in this house, Sister Kristen, said, do you pay for that stuff that you do? I said, yeah. Says, I think I would like to do it. You sure now? Yeah, I think I'd like to do it. So she started. And the video that you're going to see once again tonight is part of her taking on that responsibility and allowing God to birth through her, step by step by step, what we see. She just said, I like to do that. If I can do a little here on my iPhone or Android, maybe I can apply that same truth over here. That truth that I know over there, maybe I can apply it here. That's what Brother Byron does. That's what Brother West does. That's what every one of us can do. I can, if God gives me visions, I can see images, I can see the video. I can say, I'd like to see something like this, and something like that, something like this. Okay, Pastor, I can put that together. If I see nothing, she sees it. This is what I'd like to see happen. Yeah, okay, let's do this, we'll do that. There is something that you know that can be of service. And don't be Biden. Biden talks and whispers. So this is my Biden. There is something that you know, something that is inside of you that God can use. Let it come out. Rise with me. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth, thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Hallelujah. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh Lord. Hallelujah. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord. Father, we give you praise. Help us to be faithful servants, men and women that are driven by the essence of your love, a love for mankind, cause you to bring about a sacrifice, even the sacrifice of yourself, that we may know life and have access. Help every one of us here present, those, O God, that are listening online, those that are going to listen to this message in the days to come, to recognize the importance of this vital principle. May we serve you with that which you have invested in us by serving our fellow man. May we walk, O God, in the wisdom of your Spirit and by the declarations of grace see wholeness established in the lives of men and women far and near. Bring us, O God, to our turnaround experience. Let this month breathe out and birth out your ordained word. Let it be made manifest in us and through us. The word of victory, the word that brings us to that place where we know that if we're going to be greater rulers, leaders, that you call us to serve, so that we have an understanding of what it is that we need to do. Blessed be your holy name. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And now, Lord, O God, as we release unto you our tithes, our offerings, our first fruits, our vows, Lord, God Almighty, God who multiplies the seed sown, multiply the seed, eradicate from our lives everything that is ungodly, and establish your righteousness in us and through us as we now sit in heavenly places in you, far above all principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Be exalted in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know I've kept you long, but please bear with me a few more minutes as we let you know what the announcement for this week is. Come and honor God with your tithes and your offerings, please. And just my verbal declaration. Remember, this Wednesday and Thursday is going to be special meetings. Please take advantage of it and be here.